With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Denny Long.
Good morning to you, Dr. Hilden. And I just gave the phone number and a text number. We've done this show before, and when you introduce your guest, we'll start collecting our phone calls and text messages. But who is going to be your guest today?
Well, thank you, Denny. Good morning to everybody. I am going to talk about osteoarthritis, otherwise known as that wear and tear on the joints that bothers so many people. We have Dr. Lynn No on the program this morning. Dr. No is a rheumatologist. That's a joint and muscle specialist. He deals with a lot of medical conditions. He specializes, however, in autoimmune and connective tissue diseases. And connective tissue are your bones, your ligaments, your joints, your muscles. Those are your connective tissues. He practices both at our downtown clinic as well as our Brooklyn Park clinic. He is certified for musculoskeletal ultrasound, which I might hopefully have a chance to ask him about, because ultrasound is, although it's not a new technology, it's got an emerging role in the in diagnosis, particularly of muscle and joint. So, Dr. No, welcome to the show, and thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Tess.
It's great to have you on the show, because I know that muscle and joint and arthritis problems are super common for people, and people have a lot they want to learn about that particular topic. But before we get to the topic itself, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and tell our listeners what exactly is a rheumatologist?
Yeah, so I'm a rheumatologist that's been at Hennepin County Medical Center, or Hennepin Healthcare, now as it's known, for the past 3.5 years. I grew up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Went to medical school in Chicago, and then just slowly made my way back. I think that's the truth of all Minnesotans, that we all always come home. A rheumatologist, what I do, I specialize in something called autoimmune diseases, which is a condition that is very, very rare, that can affect people in ways that are extremely debilitating. For example, the most common autoimmune disease is rheumatoid arthritis. It's a condition in which causes your immune system to become hyperactive, if you will. And it simply causes so much inflammation that it causes damage to joints, predominantly of the hands and wrists of most people. It does run in families a little bit, and there are certain other factors that play a role in it too. But rheumatologists like myself use medications that help tone down the immune system just a little bit so that it can leave the person alone. So that way they can go on to have a fruitful, normal, relatively safe joints for the rest of their life.
So how does it differ from osteoarthritis?
Yeah, it's a great question. That's one we get asked a lot. Osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis are completely different. Rheumatoid arthritis is just bad luck. I mean, you don't really have a say in it. You get it, and it's just because you're the 1%ers that are really rare to get it. Osteoarthritis, on the other hand, is a fact of life. It's guaranteed to happen. If you live long enough, it's going to happen. If you live past your 50s, it's there. A little bit in your knees, perhaps in your hips, and maybe some other areas too. But like you said, Dr. Hilden, it is wear and tear. And so there's nothing about the immune system so much driving that. It's just a matter of just putting some miles on your body.
Okay, now you make me feel old. If it's over 80 and you've got it, I feel like my joints are going to fall apart. Oh, no.
Yeah, I like to kind of say that it's not so much with age, it's with wisdom. So the wiser you get, the more you notice it.
Got it. Okay, I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with that thought. So how would one know that you have these conditions? So in other words, what are the signs of osteoarthritis?
So the biggest sign of osteoarthritis is just having that soreness and ache in your joints, predominantly in the knees and the hips at the end of the day after you've had a long day of doing something, standing, walking, you know, a tough day on the job, so on. You wake up and you feel a little stiff in your joints too in those same areas for maybe about 5-10 minutes, and you loosen them up and then you kind of get going throughout the day. Most people, when they first notice these symptoms, they don't really do anything about it just because it's so short-lived. They don't take any Tylenol, ibuprofen, or anything like that. It's usually a few years later when these symptoms become a lot more pronounced. They last a little bit longer. It's keeping people up from sleeping at night or making it really hard for them to get through their day. That's usually when they start coming in and talking to their doctors about it. But again, it's just soreness, achiness in your joints, and then maybe a little bit of short-term morning stiffness in the morning.
If you get those things, and is there something you could, well, let me, before we even say what can you do about it, is there a way to prevent anything I can do in my life to prevent the development of arthritis?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the answer is no. As long as you live long enough, it's going to happen. It's just like any car that you buy. The human body is an extremely well-designed, super high-performance sports car. And the brake pads are just like the joint linings that everyone has, wears down with time. And so if you drive around long enough, if you put enough miles on, it's going to happen. There's no way to prevent it. Even if you bubble wrap yourself, you know, in a space suit and launch yourself into space for the majority of your life, it's still going to happen. It's going to still go on. So there's not really
sure
a lot we can do to
Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's good.
Not sure that I'm a super high performance sports car. I might be a little bit more of an old jalopy of a human body. So I've got. Are there some people, however, are more likely to get? Are there risk?
Yeah, factors? That's great. Yes. So people who have occupations or histories where they've had more just damage to their joints, or just more wear and tear to their joints. For example, the most classic one I see in my 40 years something are athletes, previous athletes, football players or so on, that have injured their knee at, you know, when they were in high school or in college, didn't think much of it at the time, because at that point in our lives, I mean, nothing really fazed us. We're essentially invincible. And so later on, that stuff does catch up to you. That wear and tear that you put on at that time in your life does slowly catch up. So I see a lot of people with previous sports injuries. But then there's not just that, too, but people working normal daily jobs. For example, I've met a lot of mechanics who just put so much wear and tear in their hands. I met a gentleman who used his fist as a hammer because it was faster for him. So, yeah, he had a ton of wear and tear there. I've met seamstresses. I've met just tons of people who do different types of jobs that just require so much repetition that it just essentially wore down that area just a little bit more than other areas. And so they noticed these symptoms very early on.
So it turns out a lot of us are at risk for arthritis. We're talking to Dr. Lynn Noh, a rheumatologist at Hennepin Healthcare, about arthritis. And then, Denny, it might be time for a quick break.
I think you're right. And let's invite our listeners to join in on the conversation again. 651-989-9226 is the phone number. It's also the text number. On Healthy Matters this Sunday morning on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to Healthy Matters this Sunday morning. Here once again is Dr. David Hilden.
Thank you, Denny. Long morning, everybody. We are talking to Dr. Lynn Noh, a rheumatologist from Hennepin Healthcare. I just do throw out the phone numbers if you need a rheumatologist. It is one of the departments that is, if not one of the biggest departments at Hennepin, it is one of the best. There are several rheumatologists that are there to see you about your joint problems, your rheumatoid arthritis, your osteoarthritis, perhaps other things like lupus and the like. We have expertise in all these areas. Dr. Noh, you practice both downtown, but do you also practice out at our Brooklyn Park Clinic, correct?
Yes, we've been expanding our services out to Brooklyn Park since, I want to say, about August this year. And Dr. Maloney and Dr. Nasser, my two partners, have been doing that for a lot longer than I have been. But we're trying to increase our services out to areas which people so desperately need help but can't really make the trek downtown.
So I want to encourage people, if you live in anywhere in the Northern Metro, the Brooklyn Park Clinic is Hennepin's hidden. It's not, it's wide open. It's right there. But, I mean, it's one that I haven't talked about maybe as much on the show. It's a beautiful facility. has been recently renovated. It's got incredible facilities. Facilities don't make the clinic. What it really has is incredible doctors. If you need a rheumatologist in Brooklyn Park, number is easy, 612-873-MYMD, 612-873-6963. And I will say that number again later in the show. Dr. Elf, if it's okay with you, I'm going to guess 25 text messages that have come in the last 6 minutes. And I'm going to start, we're going to talk more about arthritis. And we'll do so by the text line. Ask you some questions, and I think take our conversation in a good way. Here is the first one. That's, good morning. My mom has both rheumatoid arthritis and osteoarthritis. She has pretty bad flare-ups where she's basically unable to walk. She's looking at acupuncture. Do you know if that's been a successful treatment for people with both RA and osteoarthritis? Thank you, from Jill.
Was that what you said, acupuncture? Was that it?
Yeah, she's wondering about acupuncture for either of those, RA or osteoarthritis.
No, that's a really unique question, just because that is probably more on the forefront of medicine, and I think people are learning more and seeing more about it. There's no research data, so there's no scientific things that I can quote and say, like, oh, yes, people who did do acupuncture clearly showed a benefit over people who did not. However, with that being said, a lot of rheumatologists see a lot of anecdotal data, patients who just go out and do it on their own and have found significant benefit for both conditions of rheumatoid arthritis and osteoarthritis. With that being said, I usually do encourage my patients and all patients actually to be very forthcoming with their physicians. We're not really here to judge anyone or really make any criticism, so we're just here to help. And so if you're doing something or you want to pursue something like that, just let us know. We'll be more than happy to facilitate it. And at the end of the day, we don't want to get in the way of it either. So if it helps you, then by all means, you know, we want you to proceed with it. It's a very safe, otherwise, practice of medicine that I think is a great tool in our toolbox.
It's a great answer. The thing you said at the end is something I found to be true. Acupuncture safe. And I don't know how it works, to be honest. And I think, and as Dr. Noh said, although it doesn't have maybe some of the data that some of us like to talk about, you know, the scientific evidence, it has been used for thousands of years. Some people do get relief. So just Dr. Noh, and we do offer up in healthcare, I might say as well. If I could go to another question, it's about cysts in the hands.
Oh, I think we lost Dr. Hilden. I'll tell you what, we'll get him back for sure, doctor. Hang on, let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll reset up, and the high-tech things do happen here on the radio, especially live radio. So let's take a quick break here. We'll get things back organized on Healthy Matters. Stay tuned. Stand by, doctor. We'll be right back here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to Healthy Matters. Dr. David Hilden is with us, and a special guest, and as usual for folks maybe joining us a little late, who is your special guest today?
Good morning, everybody. I'm sorry about I hope you're having a good morning. I'm sorry I got cut off for a second there. We're talking to Dr. Lynn Noh, a rheumatologist at Hennepin, and I just want to get right back into the question about cysts on the fingers from a texter. So first of all, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being here, Dr. Noh.
Yes, absolutely. Love being here.
Okay, so the question was about cysts on my fingers near the nail beds, and the knuckles are big and the fingers are getting more crooked. Is this rheumatoid?
The joints that are right next to your nail bed are called the distal interphalangeal joints, and these are the most common sites for osteoarthritis to occur. Osteoarthritis of the hands can occur more so in women than men, and it does have more of a hereditary trend to it rather than occupational. And it can sometimes skip fingers, so you might notice it on the index finger of one hand, and then it'll jump to the ring finger on that same hand. The other area that people will notice these little cysts occur too with osteoarthritis is also the middle knuckle, the one that's just second closest to the nail bed, and that's called the PIP joint or the proximal interphalangeal joint. And so these two joints make up the most common joints that are represented in osteoarthritis.
Here's another question from a texter. It says, I believe I have arthritis in my foot with some morning pain, or if I sit for a long period of time. I have been using Voltaren, and it really helps. Can I use it indefinitely? What do you think of that?
Well, as long as this works, one of the rules that rheumatologists kind of adopt is if it isn't broke, don't fix it. But in general, Voltaren topical, if used as directed, is very safe. There's really no reason to consider using something else if it's doing the job for you. But just keep in mind that you can also have other topical agents too. There's like topical capsaicin, which kind of offers a little bit of a numbing sensation or kind of a, like a little bit of a cooling, burning feel, if you will, like the way Icy Hot does to your joints. And that can sometimes offer a significant amount of relief too.
There's been there's several questions about replacement of joints and when you might need that. So if I could just summarize and say, when do you really recommend people get, for instance, a knee replacement? And then there's another question that says about I had a complete knee replacement and I developed complex regional pain syndrome. And now I'm getting, I'm needing numerous treatments for that. So a two-part question, when do you recommend people get knee replacement? And then what about complex regional pain syndromes?
Ooh, these are two tough questions because these are more questions directed towards, you know, surgical specialists like the orthopedic surgeons who do these surgeries. Rheumatologists will help patients deal with osteoarthritis up to the point where they need surgery. I can't tell you when it's safe for you to get surgery. It's very unique depending on the person, depending on your heart, your lungs, and other things that are going on with your body simultaneously. The other thing, too, is that I know a lot of surgeons prefer to wait to do surgery until patients are just a little bit wiser. And the reason why is because joints that are replaced don't have an indefinite lifespan on them. They are not as good as original factory hardware, if you will, and so they don't last quite as long. And because of that, we don't want to look into a situation where you might need two joint replacements in your lifetime in that same joint. So I know that some surgeons think of it that way. But if you really want to know when is the right time for you to get a joint replacement, it is a very individual decision. It's a very personal decision, and it's something that you got to talk with your orthopedic surgeon for sure. Regarding the complex regional pain syndrome, that is one of the unfortunate circumstances that can occur after major surgery or major accident to a limb. And I would not say that that would be a reason why you would want to hold off on doing surgery. If you're one of those individuals who are just in so much pain and you're suffering, you can't do anything, and your surgeon feels that this is the time for you to consider knee replacement or joint replacement surgery, I think that complex regional pain syndrome is and low enough of a risk that I think that the benefit of a joint replacement in your case would probably outweigh it.
Good advice. We're talking to Dr. Lynn Noh, rheumatologist, and we're specifically talking about arthritis today on the show. Back to the text line, we have a lot more, Lynn. We got a lot of questions for you today. I'm going to pepper you with them, if I could. Here's somebody who is saying, I was under the impression that regular exercise would help prevent osteoarthritis. What do you say about exercise and arthritis?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm glad whoever brought that up, Ed. So there are essentially a few truths to osteoarthritis. Truth number one, there's absolutely no way to stop it or prevent it. It's going to happen. Truth number two, just because it's going to continue and it's going to happen doesn't mean that it has to be with a huge amount of pain, meaning that the patients don't have to live with a huge amount of pain to go with it. So everything that we do up to surgery for osteoarthritis is in relief of pain. That's what we focus on, where you just kind of say, all right, we try to do a lot of things to try to make cartilage grow back, if you will, those brake pads to grow back, the joint lines to grow back. So far, none of that stuff has really worked. So if that doesn't work and we're in this crunch where people are having a lot of pain, what can we do to relieve pain? And exercise is one of those things that absolutely helps reduce pain. And that's been shown over and over and over in a lot of different scientific studies. So to clarify the point of that, that text message, exercise is wonderful for relieving pain, but it does not necessarily prevent osteoarthritis.
Very good. Okay, if you don't mind, I'm going to keep rolling through the calls, Dr. Noh. Here's one that says, this is from, let's see, I think it's CJ in Champlin. It says, walking has been my thing, and about 4 years ago, it became unbearable to walk. I had a CT that showed spinal stenosis, and I did PT for months to no avail. Then I had an MRI that showed my hip was shot. So this person saying, what a waste of time, what they had been doing previously. So the question is this: is it true an X-ray can see that problem, the hip arthritis, rather than more expensive imaging? I expect my other hip will be next. What kind of imaging do you do to X-rays and pictures and the like to diagnose arthritis?
So arthritis can be seen in a lot of different types of pictures, including even ultrasound now too. Ultrasound is probably not the best at that, though. X-rays are very, very good at it. They're very cheap. They have a lower radiation exposure. CT can also see arthritis too. It's probably not my favorite go-to because it is associated with a higher cost and then also higher radiation exposure. MRI, finally, is also a nice way to look at arthritis oftentimes too, because you get to see all those structures really clearly up front. Because osteoarthritis is just more than just bones getting closer on other bones. It's more than just cartilage being lost. Part of the process that drives a lot of the pain around osteoarthritis is also because the muscles and tendons adjacent to those joints also become affected. And MRI picks up on those a little bit more too. That being said, I don't order a lot of MRIs either. I do say those for more, you know, unique circumstances, which I think, okay, either TT or maybe a small arthroscopic surgery may be indicated or something like that before I send them to the surgeon.
You mentioned, it's a good segue for me, because at the top of the show, I said you use ultrasound in your practice. What the heck for? What do you use ultrasound for as a rheumatologist?
So ultrasound is a great, quick, and safe way, and cheap actually too, looking at small areas. So whatever I put that ultrasound probe on, if you guys have ever seen a TV show, you know, where they're looking at the a pregnant mother, where they're trying to find out where the baby is and gender and so on, that probe gives me a window inside the body. And it's not the clearest picture in the world, but it gives me a good enough picture where I can see vital structures like tendons, muscles. I can even see the bones very clearly. I can see meniscus and the ligaments as well. And that helps me oftentimes when I'm trying to make a spot bedside decision, like, hey, would you benefit from something like an injection? Would you benefit from getting on treatment for gout? Maybe this is gout instead, or maybe this is pseudo-gout instead. Sometimes that little quick image will change the way I think about a joint. And so it's a really cool tool to have quickly at bedside.
Yeah, I want to give the phone number and the text number again. If we have a line open, if you want to chat with the doctor, 651-989-9226, or the same number applies to your text messages, and we have many of those. 651-989-9226.
Thank you, Denny. We're back. We're talking to Dr. Lynn Noe, rheumatologist at Hennepin Healthcare. Here's a question that came just now on the text line, Lynn, and I'm going to put it at the head of the line because I get this question so much, and there's it's about injections into the knee. So the question is this: talk about cortisone shots in the knee. How often and for how many years? That's the question.
Great question. So cortisone shots in the knee are another good way of offering pain relief to people who have osteoarthritis of the knee. And it is not a treatment to prevent nor stop osteoarthritis prevention. Again, it is just purely for pain relief. As far as how often, most specialists will say no more than every 3 months, but it can essentially go on indefinitely until a person needs joint replacement, where the steroid injections simply just do not offer any more benefit, where things are so advanced. Or until a point where a patient says, I'm actually kind of done with injections. I hate needles. So I've run into that situation every now and then.
What is the danger? Is the cortisone dangerous if you get it too often?
You know, that's actually a big question for debate. Some people in the past have said, oh, if you gave too many corticosteroid injections, you're actually advancing and progressing the osteoarthritis. You're actually causing damage to the chondrocytes themselves, the cartilage, the break lining. But there have been a lot of scientific research that kind of goes back and forth about that. I think that the majority of people who have osteoarthritis and are desperate enough to ask for injections, their knees are so much further in advance that I think there's really no question about, hey, I think I'm going to cause any more damage. Well, damage has already been done. So now it's just a matter of, like, can I make sure that you're comfortable so you don't have this, you know, intolerable pain every day for the rest of your life? And that's really what it comes down to. So I don't really see a lot of danger with it as long as we follow protocol. We clean things properly with the use of ultrasound too. That's really changed up the way we do things. So in the past, we would do what's called a blind injection, which means that you just look and feel with your hands where you think the bones are, and then you stick the needle between it into the joint. Now with ultrasound, I can pretty much see the joint line or the space in which the joint shares with, and always put the medication pretty much in the right spot. It's what we do for the hips in the past when we did fluoro injections of the hip, and it's what we do for the back too, to make sure that things are accurately done.
So I'm going to ask you after the break to talk a little bit about biologic treatments for rheumatologic conditions. So hold that, or I'll let you think about that one, Dr. Noh. But I want to tell listeners that Dr. Lynn Noh is seeing patients at our Brooklyn Park Clinic. And at that clinic, which is on 7650 Zane Avenue North, that's where it is, right on Zane Avenue. But at that clinic, there's an infusion center for intravenous biologic treatments for autoimmune disorders. And Dr. Noh does a joint injection clinic for arthritis, carpal tunnel syndrome, certain types of tendon problems. So if you're experiencing joint pain from arthritis, gout, autoimmune disorders, relief might be a little bit closer than you think. It's in Brooklyn Park at our clinic at 7650 Zane Avenue North. And to schedule an appointment with Dr. Noh or any of the outstanding practitioners at Brooklyn Park, the number is the same, 612-873-6963. That's 612-873-MY-MD. We'll be taking a break shortly, and we're going to talk to Dr. Noh about biologic treatments for rheumatologic conditions after that break.
Very good. Stand by for that. Again, here's our phone number, 651-989-9226. Also our text number here on Healthy Matters this Sunday morning on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back to Healthy Matters this Sunday morning. We have a lot of open lines here on 651-989-9226. You can send your text on topic at 651-989-9226. Dr. Hillen, we do have callers that we want to grab before the show runs out of time. I think Diane and Rosemont may be first up here. Diane, thank you for waiting. What's your question?
Yes. Could you speak to stem cells, rooster comb, and plasma for knees?
So when it comes to these three different newer types of treatments available out there, there's been very little amount of scientific research kind of showing one way or the other if they help or not in terms of pain relief. The one thing that they all do show, though, is that they don't really help with prevention or stopping the process of osteoarthritis. Now, the rooster comb injections have probably been around the longest. And this is an idea behind viscosupplementation, which means that you give something very liquid and very viscous or thicker and oily into the joint to kind of help lubricate, if you will, and then also give it a little bit more cushion and replacement of the cartilage that it's lost. The plasma and the stem cell stuff is relatively newer and hotter research topics. And these are things that you can see at individual private orthopedic clinics and specialty sports centers. And these are a little bit more challenging because it's not so much of a medication that you give someone. It's essentially taking their own blood products and giving it back to them. So you take a little bit of a venous sample of blood and an example of plasma, you spin it down, and you take the part that you want, which is supposed to be rich in pro-healing nutrients and factors and growth factors, and then you give it back to them in that joint instead. And again, that's something that may or may not help with pain, but certainly does not help with prevention or stopping the process of osteoarthritis. And the same thing goes with the stem cells as well.
I'll tell you what, we have another caller I want to get in before the time. We just have a few minutes left. Kathy in Inver Grove is on the line. Kathy, what is your question, please?
Good morning. I have plaque psoriasis, and as you know, an autoimmune disease. I also have some other autoimmune things like fibromyalgia, polymyalgia, but I do take I believe it's called a biologic. How will that help the other issues, and will that kind of ward off the arthritis you get when you do have psoriasis?
Great question. So the biologic, I'm guessing, is probably for the plaque psoriasis. That's going to be the thing that it's really going to help against. It could also help against polymyalgia and rheumatica too, but we're still learning more about that scenario right now, so I can't really say that a biologic for sure would help that. But in plaque psoriasis, there's a lot of different biologics available. You'll see them all on commercials on TV. And these are medications in which they're required to be given either by IV or they're given by injection. And you need to go to, if it's IV, you need to go to specialty infusion centers to be able to receive them. So, for example, our Brooklyn Park Clinic at Hennepin Healthcare can provide it, or our downtown clinic can also do it too. They have specially trained nurses and doctors that provide that medication for you, and they kind of make sure that you're okay and you're tolerating everything well. As far as biologics staving off osteoarthritis, though, there's really been no scientific research that backs that up. A couple of them have tried to look at that, and they did not succeed, meaning that it didn't work.
It's interesting about the biologics. I'm glad the question was about that, because I wanted to make sure we talked about that a little bit. These are the ones you always see on the TV. It seems like biologics are advertised more than hardly any, almost every other drug. And they always have very long names, and they usually end in the letters AB, which stand for antibody. Dr. Noh, in 30 seconds, can you tell us what exactly the biologics do? Why are they so promising for current treatment of rheumatoid conditions?
So the idea behind rheumatoid arthritis or any other autoimmune conditions is that you try to tamper down the immune system just a little bit, but not too much. Biologics are one of the most efficient and very focused ways of toning down the immune system, because the immune system is made up of so many different types and parts. Medications that we used to use for these conditions, like prednisone or methotrexate, would kind of blanket the entire immune system a little bit and try to tell everybody to kind of cool it. Biologics just go to one very specific point in the immune system and kind of say, all right, cool your jets here. That's enough for you. And it's enough of it that it will let patients have symptom relief without actually overdoing it and severely immunosuppressing them.
That's a great explanation of it. Now, these are medications that you generally get through your specialist, your rheumatologist. They're sometimes used by cancer doctors. They're used by stomach intestine doctors. So if listeners, if you are suffering from rheumatologic conditions, like we've heard on the show today, Dr. Noh does provide all of the treatments that we've talked about, including biologics, at our Brooklyn Park Clinic and at our downtown clinic. And if you want to get a hold of him or any of his partners or even a primary care doctor, the number is easy, 612-873-MYMD. Or if you're more numerically inclined, 612-873-6963. And you can always go to hennepinhealthcare.org for more information about the rheumatology or any of our other services. And lastly, before the show ends, I do want to say, go to myhealthymatters.org. That's my blog site. I've done some recent posts about art in medicine. There's some links you might want to check out about how we can stay connected to the arts and how that might relate to our well-being. So that's at myhealthymatters.org. It's all one word, myhealthymatters.org. Dr. Noh, thank you for being on the show. We are running out of time, but I want to thank you for being on the show. It's a lot of great information today.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And quickly,
Dr.
what's on the show
one of the
next
best rheumatologists.
What's on the
We're
going to
talk
week?
An open line show next week. We're going to take your health questions about every topic.
Good deal. Have a good week, Dr. Hilden. Thanks very much. Always a pleasure. You stay tuned next for Your Money with Bruce and Peg straight ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Currently 55 degrees.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.